of media consumers, you noticed that this has been a repeat of a previously aired, a used program. Thanks so much for listening. The crew will be back next month. One thing is transferable to the current time, and that is that it's time for Valley Views, followed by Flashpoints. And this month, the Radio Geekly will be discussing the resurgence of the monster movie genre. And we can do all this because of the support of the community, which is who? It's you. Thank you so much. We're going to get into Valley Views right after these important community announcements, so stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Village Building Convergence, taking place June 1st through 10th at locations all over Portland. The Village Building Convergence features over 30 community-built projects happening all over Portland, including the Mudbone Community Farm, Sherritt Square, and Portland University. Additionally, there are also ticketed evening events featuring speakers and local musicians. Again, that's the Village Building Convergence, taking place June 1st through 10th at locations all over Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of An Evening with Jeff Cohen on Sunday, June 3rd at 6:30 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Jeff Cohen is the founder of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, commentator, filmmaker, and author. The evening includes a talk and discussion after the screening of his documentary film, All Governments Lie, which celebrates independent journalists. Again, that's Evening with Jeff Cohen on Sunday, June 3rd at 6:30 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, I'm Dale Holliday, coming to you from Corvallis, Oregon, in the bountiful Willamette Valley. Welcome to my show, Valley Views, a forum for sharing relevant topics relating to people and issues in the Willamette region. Good morning, folks. Thanks for joining us today. I'm here today with John Wymore. He's a registered dietitian and nutritionist. He's also a personal trainer at a local gym here in Corvallis, and he works at the local hospital. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi, thank you for having me, Dale.
Sure, thanks for being here. Well, Jonathan, first of all, would you please tell us what a registered dietitian and nutritionist, what the credentials are, and what do you need to do to become one?
Yeah, so that is a good question because there's some confusion there. A lot of times you talk to people, maybe at a local Saturday market, a lot of people that tell you they're really into nutrition, maybe they're a nutritionist. But my title of registered dietitian, licensed dietitian, in order to get that, it takes a four-year degree in something called a didactic program, which is an odd word. And then after your four-year degree, mine was in nutrition, a bachelor's of science in nutrition, you do what's called a dietetic internship program. Mm-hmm. And so they're typically about 12 months. A lot of them are paired with masters nowadays.
Oh, nice.
Mine was not. I did mine as a little over a year, and I completed mine here at Oregon State University. And that is a combination of some classroom work and then similar maybe to mini residencies you could think of. So I had some that I did, spent a couple months at a hospital, spent a couple months at WIC. I worked in the school food system. I worked at a doctor's office. And so the idea is you're supposed to get some exposure and meet some core competencies in a variety of fields. So then after you finish that, you take a kind of like a board exam with the state to become licensed and a national exam through this accreditation program. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you get to put the RD, LD at the end of your name.
Yeah, really, really earn that, earn those letters. Just briefly, tell me, what was your experience like at WIC? You said you did a residency at WIC?
Yeah, well, so my program at WIC was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought of all the places that was going to be the one I liked the least, and it was actually one that I have some of the most fond memories
Things
from.
Things work out that way sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really neat environment. Essentially, WIC was a program designed, it stands for Women, Infant, and Child Nutrition, mm-hmm. and it's designed to help people who financially are having some troubles meeting their nutrient needs.
Right.
And so what they do is they provide food both for mothers while they're pregnant, while they're lactating and even beyond, and then young children, so in infancy and early childhood. And the really neat thing is by investing a little bit of money as a society in this population, we're ensuring that they have quality health outcomes lifelong.
Right, get people early.
Yeah.
Early on, get those habits going, yeah.
Yeah, so it was just so neat. I got to work with a lactation specialist.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet just a variety of populations. I got to practice a lot of my Spanish-speaking skills.
Oh, I didn't know you knew Spanish. Very cool. Okay, I'm learning something about Jonathan already. More than I knew, yeah.
So,
good.
Yeah, beautiful. It was a really good experience.
Yeah.
I'm a huge proponent of the WIC program. I think another really neat thing I learned is how they actually provide food. It's in the form of almost like they like vouchers, and
mm-hmm.
so they say, you know, here's some vouchers for fruits and vegetables, for whole
right.
grains,
mm-hmm.
for beans, and they really provide you with quality foods,
mm-hmm.
And there is some freedom of choice there, so you can choose some different breakfast cereals, but they're ensuring that these people are really getting quality foods.
Yeah, the good stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know our farmers market honor the, they honor SNAP.
Yeah.
I know that, yeah.
So which is so neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's good to see.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about your journey into this career path? Did you choose it or did it choose you? How did it happen?
That's a good question, too.
Mm-hmm.
I originally started going to Oregon State
mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Hmm.
So I thought, yeah, I want to go into vet med, and I started just kind of general biology. My mom at the time, around that time, she had, because of some health reasons, she had
mm-hmm.
had cancer a few times, scoliosis, arthritis in her back, and
mm-hmm.
she had put on a lot of weight. And the doctor told her, hey, you have diabetes. And I thought, what in the world is diabetes? Never heard of that.
Oh, my, yeah.
And so she started going to some person called a dietitian, which
uh-huh.
I thought was a weird word. And
mm-hmm.
she started eating differently. And anyways, over the course of a few years, she ended up losing over 100 pounds. She basically reversed her diabetes.
Yes, that can happen. A lot of people don't know that. My
yeah.
mother had done that as well.
Absolutely.
Diet.
They
yes.
tell you it's an irreversible
uh-huh.
progressive
yes.
disease. And
mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you, I have patients every week at the hospital,
mm-hmm.
In my outpatient office, who are getting off of their insulin, getting off of their medication.
Nice.
With proper nutrition and physical activity, people are reversing this. And
mm-hmm.
it's impressive. So I originally got into nutrition because I thought, man, I want to get in a career where I can help people transform their life.
Yeah, that must be very rewarding. Yes.
It is. You know, there's a lot of challenging patients you work with,
mm-hmm.
but there's just as many where I'm able to kind of provide hope. And then on the back end of that, you see, you know, the joy. I have patients today. I had a 13-year-old boy today who, you know, has been working on his weight management, and he had some high insulin levels, and just seeing like how excited he is and how
yes.
happy people are when they're kind of taking control of their health. And
right.
It is. It's really rewarding.
And especially in this day and age where healthcare is just so, oh, such a shaky, tenuous thing. And, you know, the medicine, the pharmaceuticals are so expensive, and then you have side effects with so
yeah.
many of them. And if you can address some of those ailments with good nutrition, that's just such it's a money savings, and it's also
absolutely.
Good food is delicious, you know, good food is good.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. You know, it goes all the way back to Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine and
uh-huh.
medicine be thy food.
Absolutely.
And there's this great analogy I heard once about imagine if you had a leaky faucet,
mm-hmm.
Or the faucet is the sink is kind of overflowing, and you come and you mop up the water on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and you come back in 10 minutes and there's still more water on the ground. And that's essentially what our healthcare in a lot of ways is doing, is we're mopping up problems. So somebody's got depression, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, you name it, you know, high blood sugar, and we give them pills for things, and we never go back and turn the faucet off. And so nutrition as a form of healthcare is really radical in that it not only cures the symptoms, it actually treats the underlying problem. And in doing so, we're able to address a lot of the kind of core needs that people have that are kind of leading to some of these health behaviors. And so you're right, just as a form of healthcare, it's going to be revolutionary in the coming years. Right now we have, according to the CDC, about two-thirds of men, three-quarters of men and two-thirds of women, based on weight, are considered overweight. And about one-third of our population is clinically obese.
Yeah.
There was a research article in the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, a couple of years ago that had said that about 50% of Americans right now have either prediabetes or diabetes.
It's just so scary.
It's wild.
Mind-boggling, Well, can you tell us a little bit what a typical day or a work week looks like for you, if there is a typical one?
So I've been so blessed, Dale. I kind of have been able to keep my hand in quite a few pots. So in a typical week, I see in my outpatient nutrition office next to next door to the hospital. Today I had a patient I saw for diabetes. Had another one who had cirrhosis, had another one with heart, kind of had a stroke, and so they're in the cardiac rehab program. I saw a pediatric obesity patient. And then yesterday I was over at the gym where I met you. And so I get to work with patients. I had a guy who wants to do a bodybuilding show, a CrossFit competition.
He wants to be in one?
He wants to
Good
do those. And I saw a gal who's doing a half marathon. I get to work with people, you know, just trying to lose weight and get healthy. So, and then this next weekend, I'm on call at the hospital where I might have to do some of these, you know, tube feedings, and you feed people through their veins and see kind of the really critically ill. The dietitians, we're kind of at this really broad spectrum, and I've been blessed to be able to see kind of the sports nutrition on one end to the critically ill on the other, and everyone in between. And so it's a really interesting job.
No wonder I had trouble scheduling you for the show. I had no idea you were into all this stuff. You know, I knew you as a personal trainer, and I knew you knew your stuff. I mean, no doubt about it. But I had no idea the comprehensive work that you were doing.
Thank you.
Incredible stuff. Well, maybe you could just tell, you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but maybe we could conclude here by your just kind of describing what you really love about your job, what you bring to the table, what you love about it.
So I would say, without a doubt, the best thing I love about my job is that I get to connect with people at a very deep level. When somebody walks into my office or my, you know, wherever I'm at, I'm at the clinic or the gym. When you share what you're eating, when you share your challenges, there's something that you instantly bond over there. And so when I originally started in nutrition, I wanted to do sports nutrition, which is great, but a lot of times I'm working with athletes who are, you know, 5% body fat, really fit. You could tell them to eat pine cones and they'd eat a pine cone. But the reality is that most of us struggle with eating, not because of a lack of head knowledge. You know, somebody comes in and I could ask anyone. I could ask a patient that's 500 pounds and say, you know, what's healthier, a cookie or a carrot? You know, no one's going to guess the cookie. We as America, we have so much knowledge at our fingertips. And it turns out that most of us have challenges with the way we eat because of what's going on the inside, like with our hearts. So every single day I get to connect with people on an emotional level and see what's actually driving their eating behaviors. And so it's been so rewarding for me to connect with them emotionally and be able to encourage them in that sense. And then it makes all the food stuff, it's a piece of cake. pun intended.
Well, that's cool. And, you know, you must be reading my mind, because we're going to have a part two of this conversation. And in that conversation, I'd like to talk with you more about you know, some of those issues we're talking about some of those challenges that people have in eating well,
yeah.
And then some of the tips and tools that you can give them. So thank you very much.
Thank
for,
you so
for
much
being
for having
here
me,
today,
Dale.
And I look forward to our conversation next week.
Awesome. Thank you.
You have a good rest of the night. You've been listening to Valley Views. I'm your host, Dale Holliday, and I'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, ideas for future topics, or other matters you would like explored. Email me at valleyviews@kbu.org. That's valleyvious@kbu.org. Special thanks to Chad Howard from Corvallis Access Media for his technical assistance and support. I look forward to being with you again next time. And remember, as Doctor Who once said, I'm not in charge, but I'm full of ideas. Bye!
Thank you, Dale, and thank you, KBU listeners, for listening. I promised you our usual rebroadcast of yesterday evening's Flashpoints, shared with us very generously by our siblings in struggle in regional solidarity by our friends at KPFA in Berkeley via the Pacifica Network. Thank you, guys, gals, and in between. And beyond. And here it is.